From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where diners are making their way back to their favorite restaurants for good eats and signature cocktails. But some of those restaurants are finding it challenging to hire back experienced servers, bartenders, and kitchen staff to deliver the goods. GBH reporter Liz Niesloss visited a couple local spots to find out more about those challenges. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Paris.
So what's behind this worker shortage?
Well, Paris, restaurants were never easy places to work. You kind of have to love the work or be able to manage the lifestyle. And the hours, the pay was never guaranteed. It depends how long your shifts are, the pooling of tips, all that kind of thing. Now, unemployment is like a guaranteed steady income. Executive chef Michael DiStefano of Oak and Rowan Restaurant, which is in Boston's Seaport District, he explained the math.
Your 35-hour person is going to question, well, I can get $300 stimulus. I get, you know, $600 in unemployment from the government, and I only make X amount of dollars per hour here. Like, it became a no-brainer, and that's where we lost that.
But it's not only about sitting home and collecting unemployment. A lot of workers say it's about wages, not about not having enough workers. There was a recent survey by a group called One Fair Wage, which is a nonprofit that advocates for restaurant workers. And they found that more than three quarters of the workers they surveyed said they were leaving restaurants because of low wages and tips, and that was by far the most important reason they were getting out of the industry.
I see. But is it all related to this attraction to unemployment and the decrease in wages?
That is part of it. But there's also the fact that some workers are kind of switching things up. During COVID, when people were sitting at home, they started thinking about the kind of lifestyle that you have in a restaurant. It's very difficult. There are long hours, and it's very hard on family life. So many kind of looked at what was going on and said, you know, I'm going to take classes. I'm going to maybe go and drive an Uber. I want something more consistent. I'll get a real estate license. I talked to the general manager of a very high-end sushi restaurant in Boston, the restaurant Uni, and Harrison Smith explained what he was hearing.
And I think a lot of people are really kind of switching out of the industry and kind of trying to take a hard look at themselves and what they want in life, and maybe working in a restaurant isn't necessarily that.
Yeah, Liz, there are a lot of existential questions floating around these days, especially related to work. And what are some of the impacts of these shortages?
So restaurant owners are really having to juggle. I watched Nancy Batista Caswell, who owns two restaurants, literally, you know, diving in and doing the serving herself, filling in for staff. She's down about 30% in staff. So restaurant owners are having to get creative. And what's also interesting, another challenge that has been brought by COVID, is how they train people. As Caswell explained to me, COVID has changed what you can do, and it's made it a lot tougher to hire people who have no restaurant experience.
We're really hiring somebody who we already think has the basic skill set to serve a table, because we don't have the opportunity now to say, come tag along to this table and be an extra body within distance and make a guest feel uncomfortable.
And Liz, in addition to this, we all know restaurants and bars have already been hit hard by the pandemic. I mean, some 20% in Massachusetts have closed.
That's right. And a lot more have gone into hibernation. The Restaurant Association says they're pretty optimistic right now that most of those will reopen. This supply and demand of workers and needs, that will ease up over time. That's the expectation.
Well, I know I'm certainly excited to get back to my favorite restaurants as the weather warms up.
Yes, me too. I'm looking forward to actually sitting in a restaurant and eating rather than reporting on them.
Well, I hope that happens for you soon. That's GBH reporter Liz Niesloss. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paris.
Before I go, I should tell you what else is up. Governor Charlie Baker says he may end the Commonwealth's COVID-19 state of emergency by August 1st.
That would certainly be a time at which we would go to some sort of a standard that would be what I would call traditional public health standard and not something that would operate under the rubric of an EO.
The governor's statement comes as the state continues to reopen swiftly. Jennifer McGrath with Six Flags New England in Agawam says the amusement park will open at 50% capacity to season pass holders this Friday and to the general public on Saturday.
People need fun right now. I mean, even since we've made the announcement that we're welcoming back our rides, the surge of excitement has blown our expectations away.
Switching gears a bit, the MBTA is proposing cutting fare evasion fines in half, from $100 to $50. But critics, including Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, vice chair of the MBTA's Financial Oversight Board, say the number should be even lower.
$50 is a lot of money, and especially in a situation where you have people who are evading the fare because they cannot afford it. So having a $50 fine for a $1.70 fare or a $2.40 fare, I just don't think is reasonable.
And finally, we end today with a celebration of sorts. Kiki the gorilla, a prominent resident of Boston's Franklin Park Zoo, gave birth to her fifth child, a son, earlier this spring. When Emelina Austin brought her own human son to the zoo for a visit earlier this month, making new friends wasn't really on her mind. But when they stopped to see the gorillas, Kiki lumbered over with her youngest and sat down close to the glass, and you could say tried to adopt another.
She was like showing her baby, my baby. It was just beautiful. I was like trying not to cry.
I'm trying not to cry just hearing that. The moment was caught on tape. John Linehan, who heads up Zoo New England, says Kiki has always loved babies, human and otherwise.
I think one of the greatest parts of that whole video are it really shows how we are not all that different.
Speaking of similarities, did you see that video of two endangered North Atlantic right whales off Cape Cod? The one where it looks like they're hugging? If not, you have to check it out. After a year of mostly no hugs, it really makes me look forward to getting them again. Oh, y'all really have me in my feels today. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since gorilla mothers and whale lovers, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey, you like podcasts? Here's one more you may enjoy. From GBH News, In It Together, the podcast brings you the latest news on the pandemic with a human touch. You'll hear from local experts and neighbors, doctors and friends, each talking about how we're all getting through these uncertain times together. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.